What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
War Number News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related, and we don't bore you, we get into it. Let's do it. I must go, must leave this house.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey people, before we get started, if you would subscribe and hit that bell, all that good stuff, we'd appreciate it around these parts. New episode for Never News every Saturday, 12 p.m. EST. You know the drill, but we got a lot of stories to get through. I want to jump into them. Let's jump. And first on the docket, I want to pay respects because we lost a few prominent figures in the anime and manga space, as well as some singers as well. But for starters, we lost the voice of Nappa and Ada from Dragon Ball Z, Ader. He played Android 8 in Dragon Ball, I believe. Shouzo Iizuka.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nappa and Android 8's Japanese voice actor passed away due to heart failure at the age of 89. Very big loss, I ain't gonna lie, because first of all, Nappa, of course, a staple in Dragon Ball. But for me personally, I remember as a kid when I watched the Path to Power film. That was a very big influential one for me personally as just a kid, thinking like, yo, this was a great movie, and the way, you know, they handled the retelling of Dragon Ball and stuff like that, and how kind Ader was and stuff. So again, rest in peace to dude. Sad stuff all around here, because we also lost another voice actor in the anime world as well. Voice actor Mitsuo Senda passes away. Talent agency 81 Produce announced on Tuesday that voice actor Mitsuo Senda passed away on February 25th of ischemic heart failure. He was 82. Senda was born in Tokyo in March 1940. Some of Senda's notable roles include Yonio Yamada in Ojamanga Yamada-kun, Jeff in Giant George, Elder Squirrel in Gon, Dave McCartney in Gogo 13, Smiley in Sherlock Hound, Goro Kanzaki in Zetman, The Great Toad Sage in Naruto Shippuden, is probably what a lot of you guys know him from. The Great Toad Sage voice, very iconic in my opinion. I just rewatched some of those episodes last month. Kai Zay, Saitaku in Kingdom, and Grandpa Nico in The Adventures of Tyrono Boy, among others. Senda also voiced dub roles for Western films, such as King Richard in Robin Hood, and provided voiceover for many TV programs. Rest in peace and condolences to his family, and of course, rest in peace and condolences to the voice actor of Nappa and Android 8 as well. And then we also lost a prominent singer. Singer Maon Kurosaki passes away. Agency Art One Entertainment announced on Tuesday that singer Maon Kurosaki passes away suddenly on February 16th after a worsening of her chronic illness. Kurosaki underwent emergency surgery for epidural hematoma, bleeding between the skull and the membrane surrounding the brain. Oh gosh, that's horrible. In September 2021, after collapsing during the middle of a live-streamed concert earlier that month, Kurosaki rose to fame after performing in Tokyo's Akihabara Otaku Shopping District, and then made her major label debut with ending theme songs for the High School of the Dead anime. That was major. Wow. Her performance of Magic World, the ending theme for a certain magical index 2, debuting in the top 20 of Oricon's weekly single charts. She has since contributed songs to Dances with the Dragons, Danganronpa 3, The End of Hope's Peak High School Future Arc, Drifters, the Grisaya anime projects. Yeah, her catalog goes big. School Live, Shakugan no Shana. Oh my gosh, yeah, Star Blazers, Strike the Blood, Tokyo Ravens. Rest in peace to the singer, and it just sounds horrible all around. And rest in peace and condolences to the entire families of these people. I wanted to start it off with, you know, paying my respects. But let's get on to a little bit more lighter news, a little bit more, I guess, some good stuff, so to speak, because it seems as though with all of the controversy that has been going down for Netflix, Netflix was like, okay, guys, hop off our backs. We're going to do something nice for once. We're not going to just keep on bleeding and gouging at the people that have, you know, subscribed to our platform. We're going to do something dope, because it seems as though they've lowered prices in certain areas. Let's read this. Netflix lowers prices for streaming plans in 100 countries and territories. Entertainment news source Variety reported on Friday that Netflix is lowering its streaming plan prices in more than 100 countries and territories, including Asia, Latin America, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Netflix confirmed, for example, that the basic plan dropped from about $6.70 to about $4.50 per month in the Philippines, and the standard plan dropped from about $8.35 to about $7.30 per month. Variety stated that Netflix will not be lowering prices in North America or Western Europe. Hey! Yo, yeah. Oh, God, what I want to say right now. Netflix, really? I mean, shout-outs to... It's really awesome that y'all giving, you know, some breaks to Africa and all of these other places, but... Come on, dog. North America and Western. All right. The streaming service had implemented a price increase in subscription plans in the U.S. and Canada in early 2022. While Netflix did not reveal the entire list of countries, research firm Prior Analysis has reported the following list of countries affected. And you see it's a wide variety, including Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, Angola, Bangladesh, Belize. Yeah, just a crap ton of places, but nothing for North America or Western Europe, the two loudest places, I would argue, when it comes to Netflix and their shenanigans on the pricing. They're like, oh, yeah, I want to complain, word. Everybody else, yo, we lowering it, we lowering it. Y'all, though, especially North America, you guys, we got a price increase incoming. I'm sure they do. Netflix, I thought this was supposed to be good. Well, I guess, again, shout out to Africa and all of these other places that are getting some price cuts for them. Cool beans, but yeah. Now, we spoke, I want to say it was months ago, about Cartoon Network's fate. At the very least in North America, it was a little dicey. It looked like they really wasn't going in a direction of, like, stability. And then after a certain point, I remember they had mentioned again in North America that they were going to try and aim more towards adults that are the ones that watch Cartoon Network the most anyway. I believe they said 29-year-olds are the ones that watch Cartoon Network the most, which is mind-boggling because Teen Titans Go is the number one programming, so it kind of makes you think, well, maybe Teen Titans Go isn't as bad as people initially thought. Maybe there's a little more into it than meets the eye, or it could, of course, be the opposite as well. But that's definitely interesting to note. However, in Canada, it looks as though they are bringing Cartoon Network back over there. It says here, Canada's Teletoon rebrands as Cartoon Network on March 27th. Corus Entertainment announced on Tuesday that its Teletoon channel in Canada will rebrand as Cartoon Network on March 27th. The current Cartoon Network channel in Canada will simultaneously rebrand as Boomerang. So they're kind of doing what they have over here in the States, where there's Boomerang and then there's Cartoon Network, and Boomerang is usually where they put like the classics and stuff, so that's probably what they're gonna do. Teletoon launched in Canada October 1997. The channel aired many anime in English, including the Bakugan franchise, several Pokemon series and films, several Yu-Gi-Oh series, Yo-Kai Watch, Dragon Ball Z, Cardcaptor Sakura, the Beyblade Burst franchise, and more. Corus Entertainment stated the new Cartoon Network channel will feature flagship shows and classic Teletoon programming. Corus Entertainment also runs the Teletoon French channel in Canada, but the company did not confirm if that channel will continue or if it will also be rebranded. Boomerang specializes in classical animation series and other retro content. So definitely really interesting to note that it looks as though Cartoon Network ain't over, despite the fact that there was those reports that, yo, Cartoon Network is done. They got rid of a crap ton of people. It's not going to be the same. Cartoon Network Studios is different. It looks as though, at the very least as well in Canada, they're moving forward and they're bringing a boomerang over there, which again is probably going to play all the classics and whatever they got coming. Hopefully it's some good. Hopefully they are staying true to their word that, yo, 29-year-olds and on are the ones that love watching Cartoon Network. Let's give them something that they could chew on besides stuff that, you know, at the end of the day, Teen Titans Go, there are lessons in there, to be honest. I know you're probably gonna think, what? There's some really dope stuff in there and little subliminal messages for kind of people that want to think outside the box, so to speak. But at the same time, it would be dope to get more of like how the Justice League Unlimited and, you know, the Bruce Timm universe from back in the day with Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, all that stuff. It'd be nice to get some more of that level of content and storytelling as well, but we gotta wait and see. And I want to be clear, because I know everybody's going to say, well, HBO Max has all that stuff and they canceled this, that, and the third, which we're going to talk later on in this episode about something that got canceled. But I'm just saying, more mature programming all across the board. Again, if 29-year-olds are watching, 29-year-olds also buy merchandise. That's another big thing. It's like, yo, we're not in the age of, yo, the only way you can have a cartoon or an animated series going is by selling toys to children. Grown adults are going and they're buying magnets. They're buying all sorts of merch. So, yeah. And they're the ones that have their own money. That's another incentive. But shout outs to Canada for bringing Cartoon Network over there or rebranding their Teletoon. And they're probably making major moves or gearing up for major moves if they're also adding in Boomerang. Moving forward, I thought this was very interesting and also very good for people to move forward in showcasing that it's okay to be yourself and to not hide regardless of what's going on with you, because apparently the Prince of Tennis creator came out and revealed that he uses a wheelchair. And at first I was thinking to myself, well, why would he do that? What would be the reason? But regardless of why he did it, and we're going to read in a second, maybe the article actually gives the insight into why he did it. I think that this is a beautiful thing for people that they do have disabilities. There's a lot of people in the anime and manga space especially that do have disabilities. I feel like this right here will allow for people to feel a little more liberated. Like, yo, one of the biggest mangaka of all time, the Prince of Tennis creator, he's in a wheelchair and he's living out his dreams. Why can't I? So let's read. This is dope. Prince of Tennis creator Takeshi Konomi reveals he uses wheelchair. The Prince of Tennis manga creator Takeshi Konomi revealed on Twitter on Sunday that he is currently unable to walk and is using a wheelchair. He stated he could not attend the latest Prince of Tennis musical production, but he received a video of encouragement from the staff and cast of the musical. In December, Konomi did not attend the Jump Festa 23 event as planned due to his poor health. He explained at the time he had been in poor health several times in 2022 due to an unspecified illness. And of course, he's been in Jump since like 99. He started with the first Prince of Tennis manga, and Prince of Tennis is still going. First of all, massive best wishes and positivity sent to this creator. Again, the fact that he came out and was very honest and open, like, yo, dog, I'm in a wheelchair. He didn't specify. I don't think he needs to specify why exactly he's in the wheelchair. He just has a chronic illness. Sending him, again, just a bunch of positivity. And I think that this is also even a teachable moment for people that, yo, dog, one of the biggest creators out, you know what I'm saying, the dude that he's been rocking out in the manga scene since 98, he's in a wheelchair and he's not afraid to tell people that you can be okay to be yourself. It's okay to be yourself. And again, not saying that that's himself, you know what I'm saying, it's not, I don't think he was born and having to use a wheelchair. I'm just saying that he's not embarrassed about it. You shouldn't be embarrassed about whatever you're going through either. Moving forward, I found this one to be interesting because if you've ever heard of the series Erased, minus the ending that some people have problems, for the most part a lot of people say that series is damn near a classic. It is great. It is amazing. I could rewatch Erased a bunch of times despite the fact that I know the culprit of the whole situation now after watching it the first time, of course. But Erased was amazing, and it seems as though the mangaka of Erased ain't done yet. Let's read. Well, he ain't done with creating manga, let me specify, because I believe he had a series after Erased, and yeah, he's coming with a new one. Erased author Kei Sanbei launches new manga on March 25th. The March issue of Square Enix's Big Gangan magazine revealed on Saturday that the manga creator Kei Sanbei will launch a new manga titled Otogi no Hako no Reto in the magazine's next issue, March 25th. The magazine describes the manga as a quote-unquote sword-fighting period drama set in the northern country. Interesting. Is it taking place in Canada? Like, what do you mean the northern country? Hey, shout outs to Canada. That was basically me giving props. No disrespect at all. I love my Canadians. The manga will have a color opening page and will also feature on the issue's cover. The manga will feature counseling and cooperation by Akan Ainu Council, an organization aimed at disseminating Ainu culture and protecting Ainu intellectual property. So it looks like it's going to get more into like native stuff, I think. This is going to be very interesting. I need to. Not only is the author of Erased, like, yo, you wrote Erased. Erased is amazing. But then you're going in this direction. Okay. We got a visual for the first chapter. The art looks sick. The main character with the headband. Again, yo, I don't care. Everybody want to hate on Yuki Tabata, dog. He made a wave of a lot of characters I'm suddenly seeing with the little, you know, headband and stuff like that on the head. I'm just saying, dog, give some props to Tabata and Black Clover with Asta. I'm just saying. But the art looks really sick as well. The female in the back with the sword looks dope. Like, I like that too. A male and a female on a sword battle quest. Let's go. This looks hype. And again, with the Ainu culture, like, a lot of really awesome stuff. This is one to look out for. Sanbei, of course, serialized Erased back from 2012 to March 2016, and serialized a spinoff manga from June to November 2016. In case you didn't know how successful it was, the manga was nominated for the Tezuka Osamu Cultural Prize Reader Award in 2014, the Manga Taisho Awards in 2015, and 2017 Seinen Comic Award. Yen Press released the manga in English, and it's a good series. Moving forward, this is a very big one. In case you don't know, I've been talking about it for a few months now that there's a new JoJo's. There's officially a new JoJo's. Not only is it on its way, it is here. Hirohiko Araki has made JoJo's Part 9, JoJo Land. It has arrived. And the first chapter, I'm hearing some pretty interesting things. Of course, we had the cover page of the new MC, the new JoJo that was revealed. We talked about it in the last episode of Feneva News. You can always watch those episodes here on the channel. But we got something very big, because the hype for this is so real that Ultra Jump, the magazine that this releases in, which I want to say it's a monthly magazine, it's definitely not weekly, but Ultra Jump literally got its first reprint in 11 years due to this new JoJo manga. The first reprint in 11 years. That means this manga never sells out like that. This is the power of Hirohiko Araki. Gosh, I need to order this one because this is going to be legendary and a collector's item. Matter of fact, note to self, order off eBay the magazine of Ultra Jump that has this. This is going to be big and I want to own it. I'm just saying. The official website for Shueisha's Ultra Jump magazine announced on Monday that Shueisha will issue a reprint of the magazine's March issue, which will begin rolling out in bookstores on March 15th. The issue features the debut chapter of Hirohiko Araki's The JoJo Lands, the ninth part of the JoJo Bizarre Adventure manga series. This is the magazine's fourth reprint in its history. Yo, they only reprinted the magazine four times in its history, and the first one since the magazine's October 2012 issue, 11 years ago, which contained cover art featuring JoJolian, the eighth part. So it's like every time there's a new JoJo, it's like, yo, Ultra Jump, get ready, dog. We gonna sell like hotcakes. I bet they wish they had a new JoJo every issue, huh? The other magazine issues that had reprints are the April 2010 and June 2011 issues. Araki's JoJolian manga debut in Ultra Jump in May 2011 and ended, of course, August 2021. The manga's 27th and final volume shipped in September 2021. And yeah, it sounds like JoJo Land's got a lot of people excited, a lot of people hype. Of course, it's a new JoJo's. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be a very big deal. And probably 10 years from now, we'll get the anime adaptation of this by David Production. Well, I don't want to say 10 years. Maybe like 5? No, 5 years seems too soon at this point because we still got parts 7 and 8. Probably closer to 10, maybe 7 to 10 years. Jeez Louise. But yeah, people, it seems like Ultra Jump is very happy that a new JoJo's is coming in because it sold a lot of magazines for them. Yeah. Moving forward, One Piece fans, I got some unfortunate news. I know you're not gonna like this, especially the way the One Piece anime has been rocking lately. It's been rocking out hardcore. It's been amazing. It's been awesome. It's been very, very exciting to watch. But there's a decent semi-size break incoming, and you're gonna be like, no, but I gotta report it to you. One Piece TV anime takes 2-week break, but it will return March 19th. Please don't kill the messenger. I'm just here to tell you. Shortly after the airing of this week's episode of the One Piece TV anime, the official YouTube account released a preview for the next episode, revealing that the series will be taking a 2-week break and will be leaving port again March 19th for its next TV anime broadcast. Okay, so yeah, 2 weeks, I ain't gonna lie, they've been snapping very heavy. If any anime deserves that, is the anime that is faithfully adapting, still ongoing, a weekly series that is 1,000+ chapters in, that has beautiful art and animation a lot of the times, and ultimately, yeah, it's very close to the manga. They're like 8 months away from the last chapter, something like that. Cut them some slack, let them get 2 weeks. It'll also benefit them and benefit everything immensely, because, dog, we be cutting it real close with One Piece. I'm just saying, you know, like, we be like 2 chapters away from, hey, that chapter just came out last week. They already got it in the anime. Okay, maybe not that far, but you get my drift. The 2 week break is okay in my book. And of course, the One Piece TV anime continues to go strong with over 1,000 episodes of the series streaming right on Crunchyroll. New episodes every week, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, 2 week break from the One Piece anime. It'll come back stronger. This will be for its benefit. I'm not mad at it at all. Cool beans. And while we're on the topic of One Piece, apparently Oda is bugging out. No, apparently Oda is bugging out so much so. Maybe due to the fact that, hey, you know, he's been writing this series since 1997. He's been working on manga for most of his life, and yeah, no, I'm probably exaggerating, but apparently Oda asked a AI to write the next chapter of One Piece. So yeah, Oda ain't writing One Piece, probably not no more, but he's gonna be writing One Piece, except maybe this chapter. I don't know, let's read. Eiichiro Oda asked ChatGPT to write the next One Piece chapter. One Piece manga creator Eiichiro Oda has been playing around with AI in the last few months. Last December, he made AI draw Lucci and thought it was hilarious that the process changed the intimidating man into a small girl. He drew a picture of Luffy's reaction and posted it as a video on the One Piece official YouTube channel. Oda's newest AI adventure goes a step further. He asked ChatGPT to write him the next One Piece chapter. Oh boy. The One Piece Twitter account posted the entire exchange, prefacing it with, Oda asked the taboo question. In Oda's first message to ChatGPT, he says he can't think of the next One Piece story, so he asked ChatGPT to write an especially entertaining one. The AI obliged by detailing a story about the King of Shadows who kidnaps Chopper. In order to defeat him, Robin connects with the Shadow Tribe from her past. With the help of newfound allies, the Straw Hat Crew defeats the King of Shadows. What do you think of the story? AI asks Oda. It has a shadow controlling villain, a mysterious race of shadow people, and new friends. Robin's role will also be important. Readers will want to pay attention to her knowledge and actions. Oda then replied, sorry, this is boring. Could you please present a more interesting idea? Yo, damn, Oda. What, why the hate against the shadow people? What's up with that, Oda? What are you trying to say here, fam? I don't know, I'll be honest with you, that kind of sounded a little bit exciting, or at the very least the plot of an OVA or a movie or something. I'm just saying, Oda, why you hating, dog? Like, yo, I ain't the biggest fan of AI, but don't be hating when there's a good idea, Oda. I'm just saying, you saying that's boring, dog. What are you talking about, bro? You the same man that wrote the Tontadas. I'm saying you wrote Foxy, bro. Okay, don't come with the smoke. I'm just trying to have a little fun here. I'm just trying to entertain. Don't hurt me. ChatGPT then launched into a story where an alien secretly lives among the captain and crew. The alien's home planet was destroyed by an evil spaceship. Hey, that's Dragon Ball and Frieza. And they boarded the One Piece ship to pursue the enemy. The captain and crew help the alien in their pursuit. In their journey, they stop at an island where an evil witch lives. The witch plans to steal the alien star fragment, which is necessary to restore the alien's home planet. The captain and crew team up with the alien to defeat the witch, then restore the alien's planet. This time, Oda seemed to like the story. Thank you, he replied. I will write it exactly like that. Yeah, I tune into the manga next week to see if Oda follows through. Yeah, he ain't writing none of that, bro. He might write an author comment referencing it, or he might put like one detail, but he ain't going with that. And both of those stories sound actually kind of interesting. It's scary to think about, dog. AI, I've seen AI being capable of doing animation. I've seen AI being capable of writing stories. Like, it's evolving very quickly at that. Very quickly. I've seen AI being able to imitate whole conversations. Like, there's a Biden versus Trump AI debate where they're like debating about One Piece characters and stuff. It is getting very scary. The distinction, the ability to distinct reality from fiction is getting harder and harder with all of these AI things that is happening. Like, I don't know, it's scary, and yeah, I guess we gotta wait and see if Oda's gonna follow through. Hey! Moving forward, I always like to talk about these because we got a new piece of Dragon Ball memorabilia art, I guess you would say, this time by the creator of, or one of the creators of The Promised Neverland. Dragon Ball Volume 22 by Demizu Posca, The Promised Neverland. This is part of the Dragon Ball Super Gallery project to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the series. Every month, different mangaka will redesign one of the 42 covers of the series until November 2024 and taking a look. I ain't gonna lie, like the facial expression, you can definitely see that looks more Emma Promised Neverland, but I like it. I ain't gonna lie. I think it looks pretty similar. Well, no, it doesn't look that similar. Yo, shout outs to Goku in the original, dog. Goku, that's the real Goku Black. I'm just saying, fam, that's the real Goku Black right there, dog. Toriyama was not playing. He was like, yo, y'all want representation, say less. But yeah, then this one is like, hey, different, yo, opposite direction. But yeah, the Namekians in the back, that's pretty adorable. And just in general, cool little cover there. But yeah, it's crazy that Dragon Ball is so humongous. Like, people be sleeping on Dragon Ball in Japan, you know, because of this, that, and the third. But dog, they're doing this every freaking month leading into 2024, and they've been doing this for like a year or two now, probably even three. It's madness. Moving forward, Demon Slayer fans, in case you don't know, the theatrical world tour thingy-majig is happening. In fact, as of the recording of this video, it's March 3rd, Friday, while I'm recording it. A little spoiler alert, breaking the fourth wall, so to speak. I'm going to watch that Demon Slayer theatrical thing tonight. I'm bringing all my kiddos, and we're going to be having the time of our lives. Demon Slayer's Swordsmith Village Arc anime's trailer reveals an April 9th premiere, so we know for sure now, April 9th, the official Twitter account for Demon Slayer's anime announced Wednesday that Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba's Swordsmith Village Arc TV anime will premiere April 9th at 11:55 p.m. on Fuji TV with a one-hour special. The account posted the second promotional video and a new key visual. The video previews the opening theme song, Kizuna no Kiseki, Bonds of Miracle, by Man with a Mission, Emiliette. Man with a Mission. Hey, the man on the moon. And I ain't gonna lie, the promotional image that we got for it is pretty freaking fire. The new one that they have, it got Tanjiro, it got Mitsuri, Nezuko, it got some pretty cool stuff. And all around, like, I don't care what anyone says, you want to say Demon Slayer is overrated, it's mid, you know you excited for this. Stop lying. If you're watching the segment right now and you got this far, I'm about a couple minutes into talking about it, you're watching this. Stop lying, okay? There is no freaking lying. We know, dog, we know. So yeah, April 9th, it's going down, and I am massively excited. But again, I'm also, by the time you're watching this, I will have already watched the Demon Slayer theatrical world tour thingamajig, and I will also be having a review in the tuck, probably even dropping tonight. I don't know. Check for Neverworld out and go subscribe if you haven't already, my other channel. And subscribe here while we're at it. Hey, just subscribe all my stuff. Let's go. Nimrod Media Inc. Why not? Something we definitely need to talk about is Jujutsu Kaisen, dog. It is really mind-boggling, and I think this goes across the board for Shonen Jump or manga and anime-related games in general, not even just Jump. What is up with anime gaming? Like, I did hear, and I want to say we reported on Forever News a bunch of episodes back, that hey, it looks as though Namco Bandai scrapped a lot of plans because things was just not panning out the way they expected. But Jujutsu Kaisen is way too big and way too much of a smash hit to not have a video game, let alone, you know, a mobile game, but also a console game. Like, there's no Jujutsu Kaisen console game. And I hope the fact is that they're taking their time and making a good one, because that is very strange, dog. Like, especially now where they're pumping out a lot of things really quickly. Jujutsu Kaisen, it's been popping for a few years now. Them not having any type of game, not even a mobile game, makes me question what's up, what's happening over there in the world of Shueisha. But Jujutsu Kaisen's Phantom Parade smartphone game that I talked about it at least 2 years ago got delayed again, or it might have been at the end of 2021, I want to say, is when I talked about it. The official Twitter account for Jujutsu Kaisen's Phantom Parade role-playing game for iOS and Android announced on Thursday that the game's been delayed again from this spring to sometime before the end of the year in order to improve the quality. That's a good reason if that's legit. The game previously delayed from 2022 to spring 2023 in order to further improve the quality. Geez, how bad is the base of the game? What's going on here? SumZap is developing the smartphone game based on Gege Akutami's Jujutsu Kaisen manga. The game will be free to play with optional in-app purchases. Shueisha revealed character designs, of course, for Yuji and them, and Eve performs the theme song Avant. And apparently the story of this game was Saki and Kaito are first year students at the Tokyo Prefecture Jujutsu High School Fukuoka Branch School, and Ken Kensuke is the branch school's president. So that's supposed to be the story for this game. But yeah, dog, what is happening? This is a little bit strange. Jujutsu Kaisen came out, I want to say, what was it, 2018? We're in 2023 now, and there's not even a smartphone game, and the one that's supposed to have been out has been delayed and delayed and delayed. So it could be that this is a quality control thing, and I'm all for that. If it's like, yo, dog, let's get a good game. Let's not throw out nothing, because a good game, good quality is always going to outlast and stay around way longer than the microwavable stuff. All across the board. Like with music, dog, you're still listening to Michael Jackson. You're still listening to Prince. You're still listening to the GOATs. Even now, a lot of the, you know, microwavable music, they're here today, gone tomorrow, not in your minds in a few years ever again. You know what I'm saying? So making quality content, even with video games, like, you know, you go back and you play classic games all the time, right? It helps to make it last longer. So if they're putting in the time, then I'm all for it. But it is rather strange that in general, anime gaming has slowed down to a screeching halt after they were pumping out game after game. But I do think that's a positive thing, because a lot of the games they were coming out was absolute dog water. That One Punch Man game that I always pick on, but I just got to keep it real, it was a terrible game, and we don't need any more things like that. So this is a good thing, but strange at the same time, if you catch my drift. Maybe they finally caught on that quality over quantity. Moving forward, something that I wanted to comment on, because I'm upset, I'm angry, I am very disgruntled right now. DC, and I'm not talking about Washington. They got, you know, they on another different tip right now. I'm talking about DC Comics, Detective Comics. What are y'all doing? Stop playing with Batman Beyond. First, it was a few weeks ago, a month ago, that we heard that there was a Batman Beyond live action that got canceled. Now this. Apparently, an animated Batman Beyond was in the works at DC. It is unknown if the film written by Dan Casey is still going to happen, as it was put into development by Walter Hamada. So basically, they had like a whole staff switch, and there was a Batman Beyond animated film incoming that is pretty much in hiatus right now, I'm assuming, an indefinite hiatus. And stop, dog, stop. I don't know why Batman Beyond, this keeps on happening to it. I've been a Batman Beyond fan since it started. I was a Batman Beyond fan from day one. I believe I was in second grade. I even think I wrote a little paper back then, you know, like in school, a paper about how much I love Batman Beyond and why it was awesome. Stop playing with Batman Beyond. At the very least, we have, I think, a comic incoming by my guy Nicholas Draper Ivy. So that's something to look forward to. But stop playing with Batman Beyond already. I want some more Batman Beyond. I want a Batman Beyond video game. I want a Batman Beyond live action. I want more Batman Beyond. Stop playing with me. And I get it. We lost Kevin Conroy, 100% a big blow, and that could very well be the reason why they put Batman Beyond's animated film on a hold, because Kevin Conroy was old Bruce Wayne. We got to move forward. Unless you're going to retire the Batman IP altogether in animated form, we got to move forward regardless. If you still want to see more Batman, matter of fact, I'm going to ask right now, you watching, are you still okay with more Batman animated stuff without Kevin Conroy moving forward? Like, even if they put Mark Hamill, if Mark Hamill decides, you know what, I'm going to keep on going despite Kevin Conroy being gone, are you okay with that? Or do you want Batman to go into, you know, an indefinite goodbye? I mean, I feel like with Batman Beyond 2, yes, Bruce is definitely a massive part of it, all of that jazz, 100%. But it allows for, okay, Batman, you know, the Kevin Conroy character himself isn't the main character. So, you know, you got Terry McGinnis, Will Friedle, Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World. But, you know what I'm saying? Or they could do a whole new cast altogether. Maybe start off fresh. I don't know how fans would take it. How would you take that? In general, I want more Batman Beyond, and it is what it is. But, again, rest in peace and condolences to Kevin Conroy and his family. By no means am I trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying, like, so are we retiring the Batman IP altogether, or are we going to go forward? But time will tell. Either way, stop canceling Batman Beyond stuff. It's starting to get me upset, dog. Next up, very interesting stuff. Cool beans for Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece, because apparently he was honored by the Shin Watanabe Award for One Piece. The Watanabe Foundation for Music and Culture of the Watanabe Production Company presented One Piece creator Eiichiro Oda with his Shin Watanabe Award, which honors producers who promote the development of pop culture, on Thursday. Oda received the award not just for creating the One Piece series, but also his work in producing the One Piece Film Red anime. Or anime film. One Piece Film Red, of course, opened in Japan December 3rd. It's the biggest One Piece film of all time, and it was a smash hit, and I absolutely loved it. The allegory for what it represented. I'm buying that on Blu-ray just like I'm buying Dragon Ball Super Heroes, because those are the things that I still buy in anime manga. Nowadays, I'm not a big buyer of anime manga, just being honest, but if there's something that is really special to me, meaningful, like a lot of these movies that I watch with my kids, I'm here for that. That's what I'm here for now. That's my anime experience in 2023. Like, yes, I will buy a movie or something, you know, a volume or two that I really appreciate of a series. That's how I'm rocking. But there's too many digital avenues to just be throwing constant money at physical stuff that is just going to, you know, sit on the shelf for 100 million years, just keeping it real. But this, I can rewatch this a few different times with my kids and just always go back to it. And shout outs to Oda for winning that award. I know I made it about me somehow. My bad. Very, very interesting. This is a big one. This might be one of the head stories of this episode. Apparently, a former president of a massive anime company recently spoke out and criticized anime production committees. And in general, it looks like he was coming at the anime industry. Let's read so we have full context and then I'll give my opinion. Animator Supporters Project posts Toshio Okada's criticisms of production committee system with English subtitles. So apparently, again, it seems as though this big former president of an anime company came out and was criticizing the industry. On Monday, the Animator Supporters nonprofit organization began streaming an English subtitle clip from former Gainax president Toshio Okada's YouTube channel. The clip details Okada's criticisms of the anime production committee system. Okada claimed that animators are so poor, even though the industry attracts more money than ever because the production committee caps the budgets on individual anime titles. This is apparently because of a culture of corporate collusion where the lead investing company determines beforehand the highest amount every other company and the committee can spend proportionally. Okada elaborated that because control over the copyright is proportional to the amount of investment, companies will bid to become the highest investor. This is usually 40%. Once they attain this status, they have the power to determine the budget. For example, if the lead investor spends $4 million, the budget will be capped at $10 million. After the budget has been determined proportionally, production committees will not accept larger investments from outsider, usually foreign companies. A large investment will be split into separate projects to keep those companies lower down in the production committee. For example, Okada said if a Chinese company offered to pay for an entire $10 million budget, the production committee would turn their investment into $50,000 chunks across 20 different projects. In other words, to maintain control and profit, the Japanese companies on anime production committees are incentivized to use the surplus from foreign investments to fund other projects instead of increasing an individual title's budget. Wow! So basically that means if, let's just say, you know, a Chinese company, whatever, Liu Bei Productions, right? And I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just thinking Liu Bei from Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Liu Bei Productions comes through and they're like, yo, we got $10 million. Go use that to make the next Naruto film. Again, just for examples, for hypothetical purposes. And they're like, okay, bet. You got $10 million for us? Liu Bei Productions? No doubt. Thank you. And then they're like, yo, we got $10 million, dog. We're going to put about $1 million into the new Naruto film. And that other $9 million, we're going to make like 20 other projects, fam. It's lit. When that was supposed to be a $10 million Naruto movie. Okada says in the video that his primary source was the controversial director Yutaka Yamamoto. Yamakan has been public about his own troubles getting funding in recent years. In 2017, the two men appeared in an interview together where they raised many of the same points about the production committee system. Animator Supporters commented that Okada's video was a wonderful, straightforward explanation. It then stated that the reason why the project uses crowdfunding as its funding model is so that it can fully make use of international support for anime. Anime Supporters released a music video last August which claimed to pay animators $180 per keyframe, which is 2 to 4 times more than the industry standard. The organization is now crowdfunding for a second music video featuring voice actress and singer Aya Hirano as the vocalist. The organization plans to produce at least one new short animation annually and scale the payment structure to a fixed salary rather than by piece rate. The new campaign is called the New Anime Making System Project Phase 2. So basically, it seems as though the anime production committee system is one of the main reasons why we're getting a lot of botched projects. Basically, they're being greedy and thinking, yo, we could just make like 10 new IPs opposed to using the money that we just got from investors that was supposed to be for one project or two projects. We could make 15 projects. And yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. And that's why we're getting bad production quality issues, why we're getting delays and all sorts of stuff, because the committees are being greedy. Definitely would love to know you guys' take on this. What do you think about the production committees being one of the downfalls of a lot of really good titles? Moving forward, we got Kaiju number 8 sales. Apparently, Kaiju number 8 is still going massively strong. And it says here, Kaiju number 8 manga stomps charts with 11 million copies in circulation. Mind you, there is no anime yet. The power of an impeding anime adaptation can never be denied. And the latest to see a further boost is the popular Kaiju number 8 manga. The updated global numbers are in, along with the Japanese release of Volume 9, putting Naoya Matsumoto's series at an impressive 11 million copies in circulation, 10 million of which are in Japan. So it's 1 million world outside of Japan, 10 million in Japan. It was just back in November that the series announced a milestone of 8.88 million copies, which means the series has seen a circulation boost of over 2 million copies in just a matter of months. Next up for the series is a TV anime adaptation, which has Production IG as the animation studio with Kaiju supervision by Studio Kara. The series is currently set to premiere sometime in 2024, so we still got a whole other years away. I hope it can sustain itself in popularity, because it's definitely not as talked about and as hyped as it was last year, but I think this is a good time to get into Kaiju number 8 if you're not already, because you still got a whole year until the anime shows up anyway. Pokemon fans, in case you don't know, the new Pokemon anime is on its way. It will no longer have Ash and Pikachu. And according to this, it says Pokemon's new series anime airs on April 14, 2023. And again, it will be with an hour-long special. I am going to be watching this, and more than likely on my main channel, you can expect some type of video where I will be talking about this one, because I always like to give, at the very least, when the first episode or, you know, the premiere of a new Pokemon starts, give my 2 cents in. So more than likely, I'll probably be talking about this one. I don't see why I wouldn't. And it'll be an hour-long special. And we got a new key visual with the new main characters. Again, a boy and a girl and their starter Pokemons. But we also got a Pikachu with a sailor's hat. I wonder if Pikachu is still going to be involved or it's going to be a different Pikachu altogether. It looks like they don't want to completely remove the mascot. And you got Charizard back there. That's fire as hell. Hey, no pun intended. Art looks dope. I'm excited, but at the same time, it's like, it's still more kids. Instead of it going like Pokemon, you know, a new era begins, a new journey begins with Ash being a little older, it's like, no, we're just going to remove Ash and get a couple of new 10-year-olds. Why not? But hopefully this is Ash's children. That'd kind of be dope, and we could see them trying to live up to Ash or something. You never know. Moving forward, there's a new Shonen Jump magazine incoming. Kind of crazy. Weekly Shonen Jump will publish Study Jump Spring 2023, a new seasonal magazine releasing April 1st. It will be directed to elementary and high school students and will include works from Boichi, Ryuhei Tamura, hey, my guy from Beelzebub back, Taishi Tatsui, Tomohiro Hasegawa, and Haruichi Furudate. Here's the list of works: Tai no Fushigi by Boichi, go check that out. Pyramid no Himitsu by Ryuhei Tamura, I love me some pyramids, let's go. Content Recipe by Taishi Tatsutsui. YouTube Kyoshitsu by a manga about YouTube by Tomohiro Hasegawa. Okay. And Inu to Ego by Haruichi Furudate. Some works will be serialization while others will be one-shots. I hope that Ryuhei Tamura one ain't a one-shot. I hope that's serialized. Likewise with Boichi's series. The other ones, I feel like I know these mangaka. I would just have to see what series they did. They all sound familiar, like Haruichi Furudate, Tomohiro Hasegawa, Taishi Tsutsui. I'm not too sure, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, again, maybe I shouldn't say I'm looking forward to this one per se, because they are being very specific that it's directed to elementary and high school students. So maybe I might, yeah, I'm going to dial it back a bit. I might check out the Ryuhei Tamura and Boichi ones just to see, like, okay, yeah, directing it to elementary and high school students, maybe it could have something good, because at the end of the day, Shonen Jump itself, Shonen means boy. It's Jump Boy, you know what I'm saying? So maybe it still could have some appealing aspects, and at the very least, it would be good to note what are they aiming at the kids nowadays. I always like to see, like, well, what are y'all trying to, you know, what messages are y'all pushing towards the youth? Let's give it a go. So Pyramid no Himitsui and Tai no Fushigi, I might give checkouts, just because also those authors are pretty notable, but we'll see. They might not be much, they might be good, only time will tell. Jujutsu Kaisen fans, apparently Jujutsu Kaisen will be commemorating its 5th anniversary this week with, again, the 3rd character popularity poll. We spoke about that in the last episode. Participants will also be able to vote with physical tickets from the magazine and Volume 22, and the series will open a special website and gift wallpapers on Twitter. I want those wallpapers, I'm just saying. Jujutsu Kaisen is fire, it's one of the best series in Jump, you ain't gonna tell me otherwise. Let's go. Don fans, it's still going strong. It's reached 2.55 million million copies in circulation with 9 volumes. Definitely feels like it slowed down. It felt like it was on pace to be with 9 volumes, like 5 to 10 million sales. So it seems as though the hype slowed down a little bit for Don to Don. I don't know what's up with that, but whenever that anime comes, it will tell whether it's a not flop, because 2.55 million on a digital series ain't flop by no means, but it felt like it was supposed to be a lot bigger and something happened that slowed it down. I don't know if the Chainsaw Man hype just didn't leave room for it or it needs the anime, but yeah, that's my thoughts on that. And then this one was fascinating. So apparently there was this image that was floating around and a lot of people were speculating, like, yo, did they just leak out the identity of the author of Demon Slayer? What's going on here? Because a photo leaked of a bunch of mangaka, one of which including Taite Kubo, author of Bleach, chilling out at what looks like a restaurant or a lounge of some sorts. And a lot of people were speculating on who the mangaka were, but we got some insight onto it. It says here, since this image resurfaced online, let's explain. It was taken and posted by Kenta Shinohara in 2018. From left to right, Hiroshi Shibashi, Richiro Inagaki. Is Richiro Inagaki the, I believe that's the writer of Dr. Stone. Yoshiyuki Nishi and Taite Kubo, again, author of Bleach. Koyoharu Gotouge and Ryuhei Tamura, which is the authors of Demon Slayer and Beelzebub, also attended this meeting, but do not appear. They probably protected their identity. And it says here, all these mangaka met to have some drinks after the preview of the Jump exhibition held back in 2018 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the magazine. So no, the picture doesn't show Gotouge's appearance, probably not their hands either, just the four mentioned having fun. Shout out to Kubo kicking it with the author of Demon Slayer and Beelzebub, but that is, God, I wish I was a fly on the wall and understood what they were saying, because that would be fire. Like, yo, if anybody recorded that. See, these are things that I'm sure they don't think about, because, I mean, at the end of the day, Kubo and Gotouge are up, you know. They I'm sure they gotta have gotten the bag from their series, but how much that would be worth, a video of all of these mangaka that you never get to see hanging out and talking and stuff like that. That would be priceless, but I don't think the mangaka in Japan think that way at all. Okay, people, and let's take a look at the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, courtesy of Joe Sunderscore. And to start off, people, we got One Piece's Eiichiro Oda said, with Red's theatrical run over, we had a barbecue with the main staff who worked so hard on it. There's so many more people I want to feed meat to. Pause, Oda, pause. You just want to sling meat, huh? Yeah. Oda, bug it the fuck out. Oda, what are you doing? Oda! We got Blue Box's Koji Miura. I went to a live performance by BBHF. Afterwards, I walked to Harajuku while listening to their music. Okay, okay, okay. We got Miroboko's Shuhei Miyazaki. The Mino chips from Calbee are delicious, and I can't stop eating them with alcohol. Ooh, that last part. I don't know what you're doing there, Shuhei. Like, you taking it too far, lad. Nah, yeah, I'm just kidding. But yeah, seriously, though, like, I don't know. The chips is cool. What do you need the alcohol? You know what I'm saying? Then we got Marshall Magic and Muscles' very own Hajime Komodo. Getting to watch Professional on You Next is great. I don't know what Professional is. I'm imagining that's a show. Sakamoto Days is Yuto Suzuki. I drink a ton of Red Bull and stuff, but caffeine has never had an effect on me. You probably are so overloaded on it that you're immune. You literally just said you drink a ton of Red Bull and stuff. More than likely, that's why you're not feeling the effects. It's like, for example, with me, when I drink coffee frequently, eventually after a certain point, I'm still absolutely exhausted. If you was to take a caffeine detox for a few days, that Red Bull probably smack heavy, or you could supplement it with healthier choices, you know, drink some tea, that'd be better. Just throw that in there, Yuto Suzuki. Then we got My Hero Academia's Kohei Horikoshi. I used the Zebra mechanical pencil fixing service and received a warm message and a replacement. Alrighty then, use them pencils to make some greatness, fam. We got Akane Banashi's Takamasa Moe. I've been debating about joining the local Futsu League, but I've gotten so fat that I need to get in shape. Alrighty then, yo, it ain't nothing to it but to do it. Hop in the gym, lad. We got Witch Watch's Kenta Shinohara. Thank you for the Valentine's Day chocolates. I ate them with my staff. You're about 14 days after the fact. Well, maybe that was a break with Jump. I don't know. We got Undead Unluck's Yoshifumi Tezuka. I'm drawing this chapter while using the thing that shoots electricity to the back of your foot that I won at the New Year's party. I hope it works. Okie dokie. Alrighty. we got Gege Akutami from Jujutsu Kaisen. I thought it was finally possible to differentiate them by hairstyle, but suddenly they both have their hair up. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Megumi and Yuji? I am so confused. It might be he was referring to Kenjaku and Choso, because they did kind of sort of look similar. Maybe I'm off on that. The elusive samurai is Yusei Matsui, also formerly the author of Assassination Classroom. I lost 7 kgs to get down to 73, but my body fat percentage is still bad. How do I have so little muscle? Well, get in the gym and lift. There you go. Easier said than done, I know, but still, you can get in the gym and do your thing, fam. It's okay. Mission Yozakura families, Hitsuji Gondaira, and yes, I decided to do all of the Shonen Jump comments. Why not? I had heard that Michael Bubble and Ikuzo Yoshi have similar voices, and it was the top aha moment I had in the last few years. Okay. Cypher Academy by Yuji Iwasaki. Is that a new series? Might be a new series. I love horse racing, so I was happy to get to draw all those horses. I want to ride a horse again. Is that manga about horse racing? No, I have no idea. Let me not joke around. Before people say, you hated Cypher Academy, and now it's the most popular thing in the world, even though I'm joking about a horse racing comment, but people be people. Ichigoki's Under Control by Seiji Hayashi. I've never had hemorrhoids, but that thing I had that one time was actually a hemorrhoid. Well, sounds like you had hemorrhoids. The Ichinose Family's Deadly Sins by Tizen 5. It's suddenly gotten a lot more spring-like. Please enjoy chapter 14. One day it's 70 degrees, next day it's 50. You never know what you're gonna get these days. Fabricant 100 by Daisuke Enoshima. Yo, most of these manga are like at the bottom and I've never heard of. It's wild. My friend made me $100 for my birthday. The real doctor. Wow. Okie dokie. We got Yuki Tabata from Black Clover. My 3-year-old daughter will stick the salonpons patches on our backs for us. So helpful. What is... Oh, the salonpa? Maybe that's something from a salon? Shout out to Tabata. We bringing up his kids. I do the same thing. I feel you, Tabata. We got Tokyo Demon Bride Story by Tadaichi Nakama. I learned that martial artist Shinya Aoki and comedian Zakoshiyo are relatives, and that got me hyped for the first time in a while. No idea who homie's talking about, but Ganbatte Kudasai on your manga, fam. Ginka and Gluna by Shinpei Watanabe. I enjoy videos where old or dirty stuff is rejuvenated. I've been watching a lot of old house do-it-yourself lately. Okay, very sad one. The final comment from the author of PPPPP, Mapolo 3. Thank you to everyone who supported me. We hope you return. Honestly, PPPPP was underrated, and it sucks to see it go because it was pretty awesome manga. And yeah, that was the Weekly Shonen Jump author comments. And we actually have Weekly Shonen Magazine. We have a double dose, I think, from a couple weeks that we missed. So let's just jump straight into them. We got Kei Urana, author of Gachi Akuta. Thanks to everyone, the series has made it through a year of serialization. That might mean, hey, we're not going to get canceled right away. There's a ton of fun stuff I want to show you all, so I hope you'll keep supporting me. Yeah, I really want to catch up on Gachi Akuta. That manga was gas from what I read. I think I read like the first chapter or two. It was pretty gas. We got Nakama Suzuki, author of Seven Deadly Sins and Four Nights of the Apocalypse, of course. My wife surprised me with a present that turned out to be a PS5. Thanks so much. Now, game on. No, before you game on, homie, you gotta bless shorty. I don't know what you gonna do. I don't know her interests and likes, but you gotta do something nice for her, though. She got you that P5. Stop playing. Stop playing, Nakama. Relax. Shoutouts to his wife, though. George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. I went to the Tokyo Government Office Metropolitan Assembly in Shinshiku. Okie dokie. We got, let's see. I always like, that is totally Asta from Black Clover. Dead account? That's Asta from Black Clover. Shizumu Watanabe. I've been fiddling with my smartphone too much when I should be working, so I bought a box to put it into so I can concentrate. Now I can't find my phone. I've had that happen to me. Hiromashima, author Reading Zero. The new game forecast for February is crazy. It's as if these games are conspiring to steal as much time as possible from me. Stop playing the games and get to work, Hiro. Don't slack. You the GOAT. You the GOAT, Hiro. Don't do it. We got the author Blue Lock, Yusuke Nomura. My kids have taken to saying keh, dirty fireworks lately. Now I wonder where they learned that from. We'll do Negi Haraba, author of Ranger Reject. I'm having a ton of fun with the TV drama Brush Up Life each week. Looking forward to that Ranger Reject anime. And then we got Yoshitoki Oima, author of To Your Eternity. I got addicted to Ehomaki and gained 3 kgs.
Magazines.
Okay, that was the first round of Weekly Shonen Magazine, and then we got another week as well. Let's see, here we got Hiromashima, author of Eden Zero. Hogwarts Legacy is pretty fun. I thought I was way too old to enjoy attending a magical school, but here we are. Uh-oh, Hiro, you shouldn't have said that. They're gonna come for you, fam. They're gonna come for you. You can't play that. Let me not get into that bag. Let's leave it alone. Alright, Hiro, you liked Hogwarts Legacy? YOLO. But yeah, be prepared, Hiro. If they haven't already, they coming. Oh, we got Shizumu Watanabe, author of Dead Account, aka Black Clover's Asta with blue hair. Seeing his hair parted to one side or one eye is kind of hot, isn't it? I hope you enjoy Kasumata on the color page this chapter. You mean Asta? No. Let me stop. Okay, then we got Tia, the editor of Blue Lock. I ate so much chocolate that I smell like cocoa now. LMAO. Stop eating chocolate, fam. And you gotta stop getting all that chocolate from them ladies you always talking about. Nagumo Suzuki, author of Four Nights of the Apocalypse. My bronchial tube is weak, so I can have neck and throat pain for weeks on end. Ganbatte, and I hope you get better. All jokes aside, that's not good. Terrible stuff. Wishing you the best, fam. We got Negi Haraba, author of Ranger Reject. I made a mistake making broth and created enough for 10 people. There's no way I can finish all of this. Yeah, well, you got food for a while, fam. George Morikawa's Hajime no Ippo, or Hajime no Ippo's George Morikawa. Can someone measure how unhealthy one can be before it's too much? Your body will tell you, fam. And we wrap this up with Yoshitoki Oima from To Your Eternity. Rotating in that place 10 times leads to function worsening in 2 hours. Yikes. That's not good, lad. But yeah, those were the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. As always, treats. Alright, and it's time to jump into the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_K. And I feel like I'm a broken record with this one, but more Blue Lock! No. Yeah, the Blue Lock insanity continues. We got Blue Lock Volume 3 and Volume 8 starting off the top 50 at places 50 and 49. Then hopping up a little bit, we got, even though at 47, the Tensai Shitara Dai Nana Oji. Is that the slime series? I don't know, but that cover looks cool. Then we got at places 46 through 44. We got Blue Lock again, Volume 20, Volume 2, Volume 19, all doing about like 14k a piece roughly. At 43, Blue Box, the romance sports series in Shonen Jump, holding it down. I think this is the first, again, romance series since Nisekoi to really take flight in Shonen Jump. In 17 days, 104k, 14,000 this week. Yeah, it's doing pretty decent numbers, to be honest, and it's only been out been about a month. Yeah, damn near a month exactly as of the recording of this one. Then we got Blue Lock yet again. Jeez Louise. At places 42 and 41 with 14k apiece for volumes 18 and 16. Ay, 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 ay. Okay, then we got places 40 through 31. More Blue Lock. Oh my gosh, Blue Lock. It's like they really want you. Hey, in case you didn't know, they got this little series called Blue Lock. And I bet you anything, a lot of people watching these have gotten into Blue Lock just because I've been telling y'all so much of how this is going crazy, and maybe a lot of people ain't here at Blue Lock, but places 40 through 37, volume 17, volume 1, volume 15, volume 14 of Blue Lock, yet again with about 14k apiece each. Then, ooh, what's this? The art looks interesting. Shadows House, volume 13, 3 days, 14.5k at 36. I gotta write that one down. That looks very interesting. Shadows House, yeah. Then at 35, Blue Lock, volume 13, 14.7. Kurosaki, hey, Ichigo, no, at 34. Blue Lock, volume 12, with 15.2. 570k total at place 33. Then moving forward, more blue. Oh my god, Blue Lock again. Volume 9, volume 11. What is this? Blue Lock, leave me alone. 15.3k apiece. Let's go. Then we got places 30 through 21. Blue Lock yet again, volume 10 with 15.5k. Yeah, wow. I really got to get up on Blue Lock. Not only just because of the sales, I've heard it's really good. And it's the new sports series, fam. If you're not on the new sports series, are you really a manga fan? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, then we got Kingdom at number 27, shaking things up. Volume 67 with 16.2 this week. 543,000 total. That cover looks so good. I ain't gonna lie. I like that cover. It looks hype. Main character in the front kind of looks a little like me. No, let me stop. I'm getting cocky. I know. It doesn't look anything like you, Fenev. Okay, all right. Whatever. You win. You're right. Moving forward. Oh, MF Ghost, Volume 16. I remember, is that the Driving series? I believe this is like a sequel or a spinoff or within the same universe as the Driving series, and I can't remember the name of it, but the Driving series, and I'm sure Chris will point it out for us. Then we got At 23, Blue Lock It Again, Volume 21, 18.5K. Chainsaw Man, Volume 13, with 18.5K this week, total 580. Yeah, that Chainsaw Man is going strong. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Chainsaw Man will be in the top 10 best-selling manga of the year. Likewise with Blue Lock, but Blue Lock is just way different of an animal. Then we got places 20 through 11, Tokyo Revengers Final Volume, Volume 31, 18.8, 750K total thus far. Wow, Tokyo Revengers came like a storm and left even quicker. No, it stuck around for a while, to be honest. Then we got, is that Monster Musume? I didn't realize that's still going. Monster Musume no Iru Nichijo? Is that like a slice of life, Monster Musume? I don't know, but Volume 18 in 7 days, 19.4K or 19.6K. That was probably like people selling it early. Usually, I believe that's what that is. When it's like 19.4K for the week, but it's 19.6K total, it's because about, 100 and something copies were sold legally before street date or something like that. The Fable, The Second Contact. Okay, interesting. That looks kind of cool. 23.8, 121 sales total, 14 days. That looks cool. Then we got Noragami. Wow, Noragami's still doing its thing. Volume 26, 24K in 4 days. All right, not bad. What's Tensai Kenja no Isekai Life? Another Isekai, but in 10 days, 57K. Can't be mad at it with 25K this week. Not bad. But you know what it's time for. The top 10. Coming in at number 10 is something called Kanojo Okari Shimasu. And in 3 days, 26.6K. It's kind of crazy. A few years ago, especially peak pandemic, these sales, like, yo, to be in the top 10, like in the peak pandemic, dog, it was usually everything is doing like 75K to 100K up. It's kind of crazy to see, like, yo, you in the top 10 if you sold 26K or something like that. It's a little wild. More Blue Lock, Volume 22 with 28.3, 346,000 total this week. Let's go. Blue Giant Explorer, that looks really cool with the saxophone, Volume 8. 31.6, 67.9 total. Diamond No Ace, Act 2. Is that the final volume? I don't think that's the final volume. Volume 33, 37.5 in 3 days. Again, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, the author had to go on hiatus. He said, I just can't do it. My mental health isn't great right now. When I return, I'll go back to it, but for now, he's having mental health issues, and I respect it. So, get better to the author, which I believe the author is Yuji Terajima. So, shout-outs to him. Hope he's doing good. Then, at number 4, a baseball manga called Mix, Volume 20. It looks very simple. It looks like 80s are interesting. Almost 40K in 10 days. Not bad. 107K. Wow. Then, of course, the big hero, the enchilada. I'm here! My Hero Academia, Volume 37 in 17 days. 64.7 this week with 559 total thus far. That cover is pretty gas. I love it. At number 2, this is really, really hype. I ain't gonna lie. In case you don't know, Yomi no Sugai, Volume 3. Well, it's 67.5 this week with 137.5 total. Yomi no Sugai, that's from the creator of Fullmetal Alchemist. I'm sure you could tell that even character right there just looks like Genderbender Edward Elric. That's Edward Elric, Genderbender with a little bit of like maybe evil eyes and stuff like that, or quote unquote evil eyes, the way, you know, like, hey, they're evil, they're mad, sinister or whatever. But yeah, I remember reading the first chapter or two and thinking, this is going to be humongous. This is great. So big shout outs to Hiromu Arakawa. She's doing her thing. This is going to be a big one. Look out for it. If you haven't read it already, based off the first chapter, I can only speak on the first chapter, maybe second one. I can't remember if I read. I think I read the second one. It was really, really good. Like, really good. So you might want to look into it. Full Metal Alchemist creator, Full Metal Alchemist author, artist. Yeah. And then number 1, what is this? Yubisaki to Renren. What? Renren? In 7 days, 70K with 71.3 in total. Again, like I told you, pretty much about like 500 people sold it before street date. This looks like some sort of romance series, but okay. I'm gonna look out for it. Yubisaki to Renren. Okay, all right. And yeah, people, that was the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_Ke. Very, very interesting and mixed one. Again, this Yomi no Sugai makes me want to hop back in. Like, yo, dog, they doing Genderbender Edward Elric. What'll they think of next? No. But yeah, that's all we have for this one. I'm Phineb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day. And remember the golden rule! Anime and manga for life, boy! Have an awesome day. Peace, and you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever News!
Have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell and all that good stuff. Yeah!
I have a dream, alone in my room as I sit with the tea. Couldn't possibly think what I often see. And you don't even know how I often blink. Lights be flashing and looking at me. Such an odd unique, yet I'm so unique. And you're looking at me. If the walls could talk, they would probably repeat. And I'd probably say, bitch, get the fuck off me.